listen to two married lesbians discuss an LGBTQ plus book each month that highlights the queer human condition as they use connection and humor to relate the issues to us as a queer community. She's Anna.
And she's Miranda.
I am. And we're two married lesbians.
We are.
And we're all queer here. And we're back.
Happy November.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Thankful Month.
Happy Be Thankful Month. And if you're in another country, I hope you're always thankful. Mm-hmm. And if you have a month that has a holiday that involves thankfulness and gratitude, we'd love to hear about it.
Absolutely.
So what do we have this month?
Well, I love that lots of people are starting to follow our Instagram more because we do post other books weekly, usually on Sunday, other queer books that are old and new and some that I've previewed that are coming out, so they can be in the news about that. But so if it doesn't make our podcast, we can still read it and give a quick blurb about a book that we enjoy. But this month we are reading Icebreaker by author A.L. Graziadei. Publishers Weekly suggests this title for ages 14 and up. It is always our belief that parents should have the final say for what is appropriate reading for their children. Mm-hmm. And our author was raised on hockey and video games, according to their Twitter. This is their first novel.
Very awesome breakout novel.
Oh, I have to say. Sometimes people are like, well, you know, the first one, you're just kind of okay, but the second one's really good. And I think when I looked them up, that it said the next one was coming out in 2024. Ooh. So I am sure hopeful.
Coming up quick. I don't think I make it a secret that I'm not a big sports ball person.
No.
However, I really, really enjoyed this book. And it was actually another reader submission.
It was, yes.
All right.
Not a big fan of sports ball. Is there a why?
I don't know. I guess I just always felt excluded as a kid. I wasn't ever especially good at sports. So when I had to play sports, I tried to find a different way to be good, if that makes sense. So like when I grew up, I grew up on a block of, it was mostly boys. And a lot of times like they wanted to play football or whatever. And again, not especially talented at football, not great at the throwing and the catching. So
is it all it takes, the throw and the catch?
Well, apparently not.
There's running too.
No, but like there was like these high school boys that wanted to play when I was in, I don't know, like fifth, sixth grade. And they were like, we're going to play tackle football. You probably can't handle it. And I was like, oh, well, challenge accepted.
Why would you want to be tackled? Like, I was never really dainty, but like, I mean, my wrists are dainty, but that's pretty much it. I just don't want to hit, I don't want to be shoved to the ground and laid upon.
I had a lot
out of running pace.
I had a lot of rage as a small child.
Oh boy.
Like, my mom bought me a little bopper thing that's like inflatable and wibbly wobbles.
Like
a punch
like Weebles Wobbles?
Yeah, but it's like inflatable.
Yeah.
I don't know if they even have those anymore.
Probably
but anyway, so like, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be good at the football part, but I'll try to tackle them. And as you might imagine, a tiny, tiny little girl doesn't have enough body mass to knock down a high school boy. So my goal was just hold on to their legs really tight until they give up and fall down.
Mm.
And it worked. It worked so well, in fact, that they decided we should no longer play tackle football. And for quote unquote my safety, we should play touch football.
All right. Well, let's bring it to the book.
Okay.
So one of my first notes is about the story of the retired National Hockey League, so NHL player, that comes out in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they kind of address the homophobia in hockey and just, like, the why specifically in hockey, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hockey, from what I understand, from the non-sporty person,
mm-hmm.
from what I understand, hockey is very
violent.
Very violent. There's a lot of violence built in. Like, fighting is a part of, like, the sport. And especially in the U.S., Canada, North America, honestly, probably a lot of South America too. But like in a lot of cultures in the area we live in, that toxic masculinity of assigning worth to how masculine you are being based on how tough you are, or, you know, are you going to fight or whatever. I think that maybe more so than some of the other sports, maybe that was harder for guys to accept that doesn't define your masculinity, and that you can be a man and not specifically adhere to, you know, standards that honestly are detrimental and toxic, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, also like professional wrestling too.
Oh yeah, there's probably indeed
a lot of homophobia just because it's super manly, and but yet when you watch like, I'll say like high school because I'm not trying to like sexualize it, but you know the unitards with like the dip and the like they look, it's and then the rest like it's kind of like it's just, it doesn't seem. You get what I'm saying? Like
everything's on display.
Everything's on display, and it just you know, like the homoerotic, like it just looks a little gay.
it's two dudes grabbing each other everywhere.
Yeah, really. I feel so bad because it's like, you know, again, you're in high school, but like this is, you know, that would be the sport that I would think people who wanted to, you know,
touch each other.
Yeah, but like,
what, that and cheerleading, right?
What do you mean? What's in cheerleader? You're jumping around.
You get to touch girls' butts.
No, you don't. You're holding their feet up.
Sometimes you hold their butt.
Okay, well, not...
And you look up their skirt a lot.
Not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. Okay.
Anyway, my point
is... Why wasn't it cheerleader?
Is I think, like, it just kind of, like, the trim... It's kind of like bike shorts. Like, bike shorts are kind of inherently sexualized because they're so snug.
Yeah, you see everything.
Yeah, but then, like, if you've ever seen anybody in, like, a triathlon outfit where they have, like, just the onesie with the shorts on, it's not really sexualized because it's very, you know... It's very high up. It's very, like, it's covering things. And then they're running and biking and swimming and all that. So, but yeah, just, like, the traditional, the outfits need a redo, I think. Like, just, they can not be as tight, maybe. I mean, why do you need to have such tight clothing on?
Well, because then, like, people can't, like, grab the clothes and, like, throw you down.
Well, that would be part of the rule. That's what I'm saying.
But, like, what if you accidentally grab the clothes? Like, your hand gets caught.
So, anyway, we have our main author, or our main character, Mickey, right? And then our kind of love interest, the guy standing in his way, is Jason Caulfield. Mm-hmm. But they call him Caller, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think we listened to this whole thing together over one of our breaks. Yeah, we had some days off together. So we were driving around a bunch and listening to it and taking notes. And then I drove and you took notes, so.
Yeah.
But when he's curious about Caller and he's not really sure what's going on, and Caller mentions that he had a crush on Zero. Anyway, they're in the hotel room and Caller mentions that he had a crush on Zero. And then he mentions that when they're watching the movie in the hotel room, the Tom Hollander Spider-Man one, which is pretty good. Pretty good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good movie for us too, if I remember. So
yeah. That was the first movie we ever saw together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had fond memories.
Fond memories.
I think this is another one of those tropes that you and I aren't a fan of, where it's like you hate them and then you fall in love with them.
Oh, enemies to friends?
Enemies to lovers.
Enemies to lovers. Yeah. Right. I was thinking friends to lovers, but I was like, enemies to friends. That's a book on friendship. Oh my God, what if that was the next one? Like, enemies to friends, friends to lovers. Like, it's like a two-parter.
There's a cliffhanger at the end. Mm-hmm. When they're just friends.
In book two, they get together. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's mm-hmm. your duology.
Okay.
So, an idea for you. Oh, so, but Caller felt comfortable coming out to Mickey because he has five sisters. Mickey has five sisters.
Mm-hmm.
One's gay, and then one has a poly relationship, which I thought was nice representation.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I think for some people, like, from the outside... When you're looking at...
outside non-queer? What do you mean?
I think from the outside, like, when you're just looking at Mickey and you see how privileged he is, like, it's so easy to kind of see it as, well, what does he have to worry about? Because, like, we do that a lot in society, both for ourselves internally. Like, oh, I don't have things as difficult as other people. Or, oh, well, you know, why should I look for help or need support because other people have it worse than me? But I enjoyed Mickey as a character because, like, he has all this pressure from his dad, who is like the Wayne Gretzky of hockey. That's the only hockey player I know.
I was going to say, I don't even know who that is, so it could be a football player that you're comparing. So. But, right, it was a pro hockey
athlete player. Yeah, basically all my sports references are from the 90s. Mm. That's it. Sorry.
Interesting. It's like you time-traveled here.
Yeah, kind of. Well, because, like, I mean, I wanted it to be cool, like, the boys on the street and whatever sport thing they were into. I was like, I'll get the cards for that. So I had a collection of baseball cards and...
What I'm hearing is that you grew out of that.
All right. I did grow out of that because it did not bring me... It did not spark joy. But anyway, like, Mickey had to have had all this pressure for something that he was constantly trying to decide, am I frustrated and burnt out because of all my stressors, or do I not actually like hockey, but it's just something I'm good at? And I think that's such a big part of coming of age, like that kind of high school, college era of not knowing sometimes the difference between I'm good at something and people tell me I should do it versus intrinsically this is something I enjoy. Like, this is a problem I enjoy solving. I like the process of, in this case, hockey versus I'm good at it. Like, you can be really good at something and hate it, but that doesn't mean...
Or grow out of it. And I think, you know, just because...
True.
You know, he's in college and was wondering if he would, you know, after the year, if they were going to be drafted, him and mm-hmm. Collar, right? And I have to just talk about the ending because I remember how...
We'll just jump to the end.
Yeah, okay. So they were... It didn't matter who was drafted first, but mm-hmm. one of them was going somewhere, one of them was going somewhere else, and that they were able to... They were going to make it work. So I just thought that that was, you know, because the whole thing, too, on, like, social media, and, like...
Because spoiler alert, they get together.
Yeah. a little bit. And, you know, people are kind of like, you hate him, and they're, like, making fun of them on social media, and it kind of, like...
Well, and they're kind of, like, leaning into the drama.
Yeah, to just, you know, kind of to be better players. And then they become mm-hmm. friends, it's almost comical to them.
Yeah.
But so by the end of it, when it's, like, you're kind of wondering, oh, who's going to, like, win? But it doesn't matter who's first.
Yeah, because,
like, it didn't matter to them. I think that was the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I mean, it was just about the fact that they were figuring out what they wanted, what the best avenue was to go down that path. And, I mean, life is full of uncertainty. So, you know, it really, because the whole story is focused on these two characters, it really didn't matter who was first or who was second, which I think is really indicative of that coming of age.
Well, I think at some point, I kind of did wonder. I was kind of bummed I didn't find out, but, like, it wouldn't have changed how I felt about them.
No, it wouldn't have. I mean, it was just, like, when I was in high school, it seemed the most important thing in the world to figure out, was I going to be second or third in my class? It didn't matter. It didn't matter one bit. It didn't influence my future. It changed nothing.
But in that moment, like, those things
matter. In that moment.
Yeah. But it, you learn. Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed to be the most important thing in the world. But at the end of the day, if I walk up to somebody and was like, I was second in my class, or I was third in my class, either way, there's no difference between those two categorically. And, I mean, so I just thought it was such a relatable touchstone to that coming of age story, is like those things that seem so important when you have the right perspective maybe aren't as important as you make them out to be, because you find out what other things in your life actually have that deeper meaning and truly matter and kind of set the tone for what you're doing in your life, which arguably their relationship, you know, is a more important part of their individual stories than whether they were first or second in a draft pick. Like, either one of those is an honor, so it doesn't matter. And we'll be right back. And we're back. I think it was such a really well-told queer coming-of-age story, or just coming-of-age story, period. I loved so many of the touch points that we got to examine mental health, because I think especially for young men, it's such an under-told story. We don't take the time to talk about it and normalize it. And so I really loved that Mickey got to share, was it Dorian, the roommate that was going to therapy?
Yeah, I was going to say, mentions he has depression, and he says there's no reason to be depressed. You don't need a reason because it's chemical.
Yeah.
Which I think was important for young readers to understand. And that Mickey tells him about his depression.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes out to Dorian. So we have this kind of big, reveal and just like these things that, he's trusting his teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says that they're obvious and that, why don't you think others have put it together sooner, So just kind of like being aware of that.
I loved seeing the male friendships in this story. Because I think that a lot of times we don't get to see stories about that as much. Like healthy male friendships.
Just like razzing each other.
Yeah, not just like hazing and drinking and ogling women. I mean, the kind of ogle boys, but that's okay. Like, that's okay. We can have some of that. But I really like that. I really, really, really wanted to touch on Mickey's sister, Delilah. I loved Delilah's storyline. I really loved seeing, especially Delilah and Jade's relationship and seeing that queerness. And I loved that we kept, hitting that touch point that, like, when you look at Delilah's capability and her hockey career taking off, just like Mickey's, to see that huge discrepancy in the sport for women versus men, and seeing that even though Delilah arguably is probably better than her brother, that her career options were much more limited, both in fanfare, in, her earning potential, and in, coverage, what the different choices she might have.
Because he mentions that sometimes.
Like, yeah.
They were asking, I think it was like somebody was asking him a question. He's like, well, my sister is this, 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 and this, and I'm just this.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like,
I'm like, he's like the hot shot. Everybody's talking about him.
Because he's like the male legacy almost.
I know, but like at the end of the day, I mean, I'm of the opinion it shouldn't
athletic
matter.
Athletic legacies. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They should have gotten equal coverage.
Yeah.
Excitement around the coverage.
Yeah, I agree. And I loved how supportive Mickey was of his sister. Like, he was constantly rooting her on, and they'd have, that competitive edge with each other, but it was always with, like, the support underlying all of it. I really loved their sibling relationship. I thought it was, really beautiful. And I think that many other families wouldn't have had such a beautiful sibling relationship in that situation. Because, like, you have all the underpinnings for things to go terribly wrong there. Because, like, even with the best brother in the world, Delilah seeing his success and knowing that she is a better player than him, that could build up resentment, but you don't ever really get any glimpses of that from her. She's nothing but supportive of her brother. I really loved seeing their relationship. I thought they were really awesome siblings. And I really want to talk about the parenting dynamic in this book, because I thought it was so different than any other book we've read. You have two parents that seemingly care a great deal about their children.
Right.
They're investing heavily in, monetary wise, but also time-wise, resource-wise, into the future careers and the further, you know, I don't know. So this is where my sports terminology fails me, is I don't have any. But, like, development of their athletic
ability.
Thank you. But at the end of the day, like, Mickey feels so disconnected and unsupported by his parents because they're physically not there. They're emotionally not there. They're not there to give him, you know, that space to be able to talk about his feelings. And when he does get a chance to talk to them, he doesn't feel that it's okay to let them down, partially because of all that investment of time and money and resources into a career path that he's not even sure that he wants. And I mean, my heart broke for him, you know, to
go through
that.
Isn't that with the holidays? And yeah. He was like, you don't even care.
Well, and it's like, we're not new to queer people being isolated on the holidays. But in this book, it's for a very different reason. It's not because his parents, like, found out he was gay and kicked him out of the house. Like, it's because every year is like this. I mean, this is just the dynamic that's been set up by his parents without them fully understanding what the side effects are, that very real problem that it's caused for Mickey as far as exacerbating his struggle with depression and anxiety.
You know, he has to constantly kind of navigate those comments and the news about his 5'5" size. That comes up a lot, that he's shorter.
I love 5'5".
And that he wouldn't necessarily have some prospects if it wasn't for his dad and his dad's athletic success.
I love the 5'5" visibility as a fellow 5'5"-er.
Good for you.
Good for you. Yeah, thanks.
No, I think that is important because, like, you see that with, you know, basketball a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are, on the shorter side, people who can, shocker, throw a ball pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I was always naturally tall, so people always ask me if I played basketball, and I was like, no. That doesn't.
Yeah. Because you're tall.
Yeah, I mean, it helps because you're closer to, I get it, you're closer up there to the basket. It's far less, you know, it's not as far to throw, but,
Or jump or whatever.
Yeah, jump, throw.
Jump, throw.
But, that doesn't necessarily, you know.
Jump shot,
there you go.
We know some words.
We know sports ball. it's just kind of, I really appreciated this, especially not being a sports person.
Mm-hmm.
I like sports books because I usually learn something along the way, and I learned a couple of things from this. I don't watch sports a lot. I like live sports. I like to watch things live.
Yeah, we got into live sports this past year.
Yeah, we did. And so I just kind of like the camaraderie of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily just watching it on TV, because I think after a little while I like pause or maybe not finish the game. So I enjoyed that, that he just kind of was fighting that as well, because it just felt, you know,
challenging those preconceptions.
Yeah, it just felt really like a well, I mean, like I said, this, you know, this is a debut, so it's just like, it's such a well-rounded debut, and I just really appreciated how authentic the characters felt to...
Nothing felt shoehorned in.
To high schoolers. Yeah, nothing felt forced. It just, the, you know, the storyline really worked out. I really enjoyed it. So I do want to mention, too, before we jump to the fan fiction...
yes.
That, you know, he's drinking on his medicine, which you... It kind of comes up that he might not be a good idea to do. And then first with a girl in front of Collar. But then he calls him out on it later. But Mickey says he doesn't want a firm commitment, like being boyfriends. But then they get together. So did you have a thought on maybe what was going on there?
Yeah, I think it was meaningful.
I think he's just scared. Sorry. Yeah. I'm like, what do you think? And then I'm going to tell you what I think.
Okay, tell me what you think.
I just thought that they were scared because... I mean, they're teammates. I'm like, that has to be terrifying.
Because,
if it goes bad, you always have to wonder what if, you know? It's like if you date your neighbor, you know, you just avoid your neighbor the rest of your life because people don't always talk to their neighbors. But if you date a coworker and one of you doesn't, like, find another job, they can make that really awkward for you.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, especially when, because, like, early in the book, it was all about building the team dynamics, mm-hmm. right?
And they were kind specifically of, trying to do that.
Yeah. And so, like, if two of those teammates stayed and it doesn't work out, it could change the entire
team. But the team teammates dynamic. Who knew seemed fine with it. Like, they're like, yeah, you're both great guys. It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Which so, I feel like on a college team nowadays, depending on which part of the country you're in, is pretty realistic.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. But, I mean, I get the apprehension as the two people in the potential relationship. I definitely think, including, like, the fact that he was making a very questionable choice to drink on his medication when it was, you know, counterindicated, that it can be so dangerous to do something like that when your prescription specifically states don't. I'm really glad that, you know, he was able to not only discover that his mom had, you know, like, crippling anxiety and was on, I think it was like the same medication. And
oh yeah,
that was that touch point that he could kind of connect with his mother better and feel a lot less alone.
Because it is hereditary.
Yeah, it absolutely can be. And I thought that was a really, really impactful moment that you got to kind of see his parents' humanity and see that he saw it. Because, like, that's part of growing up as well. Is, like, even if your dad wasn't some hotshot, like, hockey star, as a kid, you see your parents as, like, almost superheroes. And then...
until you realize they're human.
Until you realize they're actually just human.
And that's a hard lesson.
It is a hard lesson because you're like, wait a minute, you have no idea what's going on? And you don't know how to handle any of this?
Well, I think a lot of that, too, is before the internet.
Yeah.
People could just say whatever, and then...
and then you just walk around believing it.
Yeah, until someone else says no, and then, like, well, do you trust them more? There's a real trust thing.
Yeah.
And now, like, obviously there's misinformation out there, but you have to trust the source.
Yeah.
But you still, you know, you can say, well, I can look that up, or your parents kind of have to default to, like, I don't know, let's
look Google
into that.
It.
Yeah, let's look into that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of, I don't know, let's see if we can figure it out. So I know that's something that, you know, we say to our son sometimes too. We don't have to feel the need to make something up like our parents and our parents' parents. But yeah, absolutely.
So the fan fiction.
Okay, the fan fiction, yeah. That was hilarious. I loved how that kind of turned into, like, almost like a little wildfire that they kept kind of stoking. And, like, I don't know, it's just a very, it's a very specific time period, right? Because, like, if you go back 10 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. Like, you wouldn't have random fans, that were like, oh my goodness, what if these two got together? Like, well, I guess 10 years ago that was a thing.
What?
20 years ago.
20
okay,
years.
Before the internet mm-hmm. was
well,
at
the internet's
its
been around
peak.
For that long.
At
okay,
its peak.
Peak, okay.
Because, like, you know, I don't know, it's just, I think it's just such a specific time period that that could happen in. And I loved how that kind of got played with in the story. And it was like, what, do we need to, how do we calm this down? How do we... Uh-oh. And it was like, anytime something would happen, I'd be like, is this gonna... how's this gonna end up?
Yeah, I did appreciate that that mention, yeah. So, I think we did kind of already talk about this in social media.
Mm-hmm.
The rivalry and how it ultimately makes them better players. Because they do kind of comment on that.
Yeah.
Towards the end. But then when Mickey comes out to his sisters, I thought that was a
really
sweet moment.
I loved his sisters. Like... because, like, you had, like, there was a set of twins and there were, you know, several older sisters. And each of them, I felt like, even if we didn't get a lot of time with them, each of them, you could really got a sense of their personality and who they were. And they were very different people, like is the case in siblings. But yet there was this, you know, very close familial bond, where they'd all dealt with parents that were kind of uninvested, not intentionally. And it was just interesting to kind of see I think part of that parent relationship is, you know, fed into how close and how supportive they were as siblings. Like you had the group text where everybody was talking all the time. And I was like, oh, I want that. but yeah, it was really something. And it made me really want to be a part of that family, you know?
I think what's great about hockey is, in addition to playing a game, you also have to know how to skate.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it involves a lot of skill that people don't really understand.
Yeah, because
you know? A lot of sports, you have to be a good runner.
It's like a different mode of transportation.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
You need a very specific situation to use. I think that's why, because I had a friend for years that was a hockey player. He potentially could have gone pro, but he's like, but I live in Texas and we didn't want to move, you know, up where I would have had a
shot.
Yeah. And
because it's
a very expensive sport. Geographically, you kind of have to be in some specific areas for it to give you the best option, because making it to pro level in any sport is a real long shot, you know, statistically. And, you know, I remember him talking about it quite a bit, and that it's just the specificity of that sport is pretty wild. And he mentioned at one point, he was like, I guess it's your clavicle, this bone that goes across the top of your chest. He's like, mine probably looks like a saw. It's got so many chips in it. And I'm like, whoo.
Yeah, it's really hard. On your body.
Hard on your body, yeah. And I mean, you think about it, like so many sports, like it's not a career that you can do for the rest of your life. Some sports you might have a longer span that you could be active in, but hockey seems like one that would have a pretty short.
Because of the window of physicality.
Yeah. You know, a lot like probably professional football, maybe.
Yeah. In the States. Or I also think like tennis.
Tennis, actually, you can stay pretty active in it pretty long.
That's what I'm saying, because there's not a lot of...
Oh, it's an incredibly physical sport, but there's not a lot of impact.
Yeah, a lot of impact. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're not hitting that. Versus
unless
like
you play it
down.
Like my dad, where there's a lot of falling down
maybe
with him.
Maybe he should play pickleball. I recently learned about that.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him next time we see him, be like, so, have you tried pickleball?
So, are you ready to rate it?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to rate it.
I think for me, it's an obvious... Oh, I paused so much.
Yeah, maybe not obvious.
Well, I was going to say, it's just a good book to, like, read and then, like, read again.
Mm.
Like, it would be a fun reread years past because I enjoyed it so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I think...
I loved all the characters.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be, you know, you could almost, like, half listen as you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because we did that on our first read, even though we were taking notes the whole time. But, so definitely 5 rainbows.
You're going to have 5 rainbows?
Yeah, on this one.
I'm going to have to go 5 rainbows as well. I really loved it. And when we were first looking at it, I was like, oh no, sports. But I loved it. I was pleasantly surprised. Even if you are an oh no sports person, it's still worth a read.
Absolutely. Well, December is exciting. Heartstopper Volume 5 will be out.
So whoop.
That will be our January review, unless we decide to.
Because we cannot wait.
We cannot wait. So, yeah, we might have to post it early. I don't know. and our next read for December is Junior High by Tegan and Sarah.
Very
and I think
exciting.
Quinn is their last name, but it's just Tegan and Sarah. So, well, I mean, their last name's on there.
Working musician
so
name.
It's pretty exciting. And we hope to end the year with some middle school angst.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Well, until next time.
We're all queer here.
Absolutely.